We're joined live in the studio by Elizabeth Zunon. She is the illustrator of 12 books and has just released her own first sole authored and illustrated book called Grandpa Cacao, a story based on her father's memories of her grandfather, who was a cacao farmer in Africa's Ivory Coast. So welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Thanks. You go by Liz?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just start off with this book that's coming out. I guess it's coming out tomorrow.
Yep, it'll be published tomorrow by Bloomsbury Books. It's called Grandpa Cacao, A Tale of Chocolate from Farm to Family. It is the first book for which I am both the author and the illustrator. And it's kind of a fictionalized account of the life of my grandfather in the Ivory Coast, who was a cacao farmer.
Is farming still a part of your family?
No, not really. The plantation has, I think, fallen into a couple of different hands, so we're not quite sure if any cacao is being harvested at this moment, but it was in the family for a long time before I was born.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, as we've said, that it was based on your father's memories, but you have also gone to visit the actual location.
Actually, no. So I was born in Albany, and I grew up in the Ivory Coast, or Côte d'Ivoire, West Africa, and we lived in the biggest city, Abidjan. So we had, you know, a car, paved roads, high-rise buildings, air conditioning, and I never actually experienced the traditional African village life that most of us think about when we hear Africa. But my father has told me a lot of stories from his childhood. He grew up in a small village called Daloa, and he has recounted to me following his father to the plantation, the work that the farmers did to cut the cacao pods off of the trees, cut them open, scoop out the beans, ferment them underground, lay them under the sun to dry, and all of the hard work that goes on before chocolate or cocoa beans actually arrive at a chocolate factory. So I wanted to make a book that teaches children and adults actually where chocolate comes from. It comes from a fruit that grows on a tree that only grows in tropical places near the equator around the world.
Mm-hmm. And you've tried to make some chocolate yourself, haven't you?
I've had a couple of semi-successful attempts. probably my first attempt was in college, where I bought a bunch of Lindt chocolate, dark milk and white chocolate, melted them in the microwave and put them into different molds, swirling them together, making different, you know, marble patterns in my chocolate. And I took a chocolate making class last fall at the Art Center of the Capital Region with Oliver Holacek. And he taught us about the process that he goes through to actually grind cacao beans, roast them, and actually make chocolate. So I've attempted it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the books. You've illustrated 12 different books prior to this. How did you get into that in the first place?
I was always a kid that was interested in art. I always had a set of watercolors or coloring books or was making paper dolls. I took a lot of art classes in high school at Gilderland High School. And I had a lot of supportive art teachers who said, you know, I think you could make a living as an adult in a career with the arts. So I attended Rhode Island School of Design and got really interested in children's books, picture books for elementary aged students. I love hearing stories. I love storytellers. I love people reading to me. I love learning about faraway places and people that I've never met before. And so I figured, okay, I want to give this children's book illustration thing a go. So I created an art portfolio at the end of art school, and I submitted it to book publishers in New York City, where many publishers are. I didn't get very far on my own. It's not until I met my agent, Lori Nowicki, where I was able to be partnered up with a book publisher who had a manuscript that was in need of an illustrator. So my first book was published with Marshall Cavendish Books. It is called My Hands Sing the Blues, Romare Bearden's Childhood Journey. And in that book, I was illustrating the childhood of African-American collage artist Romare Bearden. And it's through investigating his art style that I really became comfortable using collage as an art style to express myself as an illustrator. So I kind of absorbed the collage techniques from Romare Bearden and paired it with my favorite thing to do, which is painting oil paint portraits. So most of the books that I have illustrated are a mix of oil paint and cut paper collage.
What about subject matter? Have you I mean, I realize with so many of these things, it's kind of right place, right time, and it's hard to turn away opportunities if they present themselves. But have you always managed to get in with things where you were generally interested in the subject, or has it been kind of a mix and match?
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky in terms of the books that I've illustrated. Most of them are about African people or African American people. And when I got into the publishing industry, I realized I really want to be a part of bringing positive stories about people of color out into the mainstream, because growing up in Africa, when I would, you know, come back to the United States every summer, when I would hear about Africa on the news or in the newspaper, it was always about disease or war or poverty. And I thought, okay, well, the entirety of Africa is not made up of only these bad things. There are so many positive people, positive things, great discoveries, great movements happening all around the continent of Africa. And as an artist, I want to be part of bringing these stories to life on the page. And especially, what better audience than young children that are going to be in charge of the world when we're all gone? I think it serves them well to present them with positive stories about people that come from very, very far away places and very close to home.
Mm-hmm. And you'd mentioned to me earlier that you visit places like elementary schools. Do you try and spread this message directly to these kids?
Yes, often I'm invited to visit a school when one of my books has a subject that is similar to something that the kids are studying in their curriculum. So one of the books that I've illustrated, called One Plastic Bag, is about recycling and recycling plastic and using plastic in creative ways to make beautiful and useful things. So oftentimes when I visit a school, I will bring craft materials or recycled plastic bags or yogurt cups, and we will make something creative inspired by what the people did in the book.
Cool. What are some of the other themes in the other books that you've had a hand in?
Let's see. Another book is called The Legendary Miss Lena Horne, which is a biography of Lena Horne, African-American singer, actress, and civil rights leader. And when I visit schools with that book, we talk about using the entertainment, using the arts, using singing in our voice to make a change in the world. Another book, The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, which is another story about a true person, a real person that's still alive today, William Kamkwamba. He built a windmill using scraps that he found at the junkyard. So a lot of times, you know, I will visit a school where the students have read The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, and they have made machines inspired by The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, or they have come up with ideas for machines that could change the world and make a positive change in their neighborhood.
So these pictures are really quite striking and beautiful. Specifically, I was flipping through the book that you're about to release tomorrow, and I saw the silk screens on the collage work. Mm-hmm. And did you actually silk screen directly onto the collage work?
Yes, that was an ordeal. So on some of the pages, the silk screen is directly on top of the oil painting. And on some of the pages, the silk screen on top of the oil painting did not turn out so great. So I actually silk screened on a print of the oil painting. So it was last summer, I was very busy with figuring out what is the best way that I could create a good image for this illustration. Am I going to use the original that I might mess up with the silk screen, or am I going to use a print that I could, you know, have a couple of prints of the same illustration that I could do a couple of tries of silkscreen and then pick the best one?
Yeah, when you described the process, it was anxiety-inducing to, yes, imagine, you know, that final step. So yes, that's good that you came up with a way, yeah, around that.
What about the process of getting into your subject matter? Like you mentioned Lena Horne, right?
Yes.
Were you a Lena Horne fan before you took that project on?
Not really. I had heard her name, but I was not really familiar with her music or her films. When I illustrate a book, I'm working on a project, I'm always listening to music. And so for the Lena Horne book, this was my first opportunity to have the soundtrack that I'm listening to be the actual subject that I'm illustrating. So I really fell in love with her voice, the way she carried herself on the screen. I watched a lot of her movies, and she was basically singing to me in my ear as I was drawing her and painting her. Yeah, so that was really fun discovering someone new, which I didn't know that much about her before I started the project. So it's an opportunity for me to you know, help bring to life someone's story, but also it's an opportunity for me to learn about them and become a true fan.
Mm-hmm. There's a trick that I want to tell you about mm-hmm. that you may already know about. I studied printmaking at the museum school in Boston, and mm-hmm. there was a professor there who I actually never took his class, but he had this thing where he would put on a song and he would have it on repeat. So it was something that wasn't so it might be a Motown thing or something mm-hmm. where like if you hear it like 10 times in a row, it'll just start to blend into the background. So you have this musical structure that's feeding you, but you're not having that distraction of it changing and changing and changing and changing. Mm. And then you associate that particular song with the work that you're doing. So he would play that same song the entire semester. You'd go in there, he'd put on the song, you'd start to work, and it kind of got you into this mindset. And I used it when I was trying to work on a graphic novel, and that song still to this point just brings me back to that thing. Wow. So it's a weird kind of effect.
Yeah, music has a powerful impact on, you know, our brains. Yeah, I'll have to try that next time.
Mm-hmm. So what's your plan from this point forward? You have this release that's happening tomorrow, and then I understand that you have maybe the release party is on the 1st.
Yes.
Where is that? What's that about?
Yes, the book launch party, the book release party for Grandpa Cacao will be Saturday, June 1st at the Bookhouse of Stuyvesant Plaza from 3 to 5 p.m. And so I'll be reading the book and giving away chocolate cupcakes, chocolate treats, and also we're going to have a little bit of chocolate and cacao show and tell with my chocolate teacher, Oliver Holacek, from Primo Botanica in Troy.
There's one other thing that we were talking about earlier that I would like to talk about a little bit more too, which is the mural effort that you were part of in downtown Albany.
Yes.
Why don't you describe that a little bit?
Last summer, in the month of August, I painted a mural on the side of the 787 off-ramp next to 677 Prime in Albany, 677 Broadway. So that was a collaboration between the Albany Center Gallery, the Albany Parking Authority, and the Albany Barn, who have partnered together to find artists who are willing and able to paint murals in downtown Albany and kind of bring a little bit of bright, beautiful color to some of the drab concrete surfaces that we have downtown.
Is that the one with the birds?
No, it is near the birds. It is below the birds in that same walkway.
And what's the subject matter?
The subject, the title of the mural is called Geraldine's Reverie. And it is about how the arts, music, poetry, dance inspire us from the time that we're children all the way up to the time that we're adults.
Okay, that's great. I think we're about out of time. Tell us again. Oh, actually, I have it right here in our closing. So be sure to join Elizabeth at the Little Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza on Saturday, June 1st from 3 to 5 p.m. to get your signed copy of Grandpa Cacao. Troy's only chocolate maker, Primo Botanica, will also be at the event with a special demonstration of the chocolate making process. So it's sure to be a delicious and educational experience. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.